Chapter 5. We pledged allegiance to the flag. The flag hung limp from a 10-foot bamboo pole in the corner of the white picket fence that surrounded the church. Beyond the flag, I could see smoke rising from the chimneys in the quarter, and beyond the houses and the chimneys, I could hear the tractors harvesting sugarcane in the fields. The sky was ashy gray, and the air chilly enough for a sweater. I told the children to go inside and began their Bible verses. After listening to one or two of the verses, I tuned out the rest of them. I had heard them all many times. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. Jesus wept, and on and on and on. I had listened to them almost 6 years, and I knew who would say what, just as I knew what each child would wear to school, and who would or would not know his or her lesson. I knew, too, which of them would do something for themselves, and which of them never would, regardless of what I did. So each day I listened for a moment, then turned it off, and planned the rest of the day. My classroom was the church. My classes ranged from primer to sixth grade, my pupils from 6 years old to 13 and 14. My desk was a table, used as a collection table by the church on Sundays, and also used for the service of the Holy Sacrament on the fourth Sunday of each month. My students' desks were the benches upon which their parents and grandparents sat during church meeting. The students either got down on their knees and used the benches as desks to write upon, or used the backs of their books upon their laps to write out their assignments. Ventilation into the church was by way of the four windows on either side, and from the front and back doors. Our heat came from a wood-burning stove in the center of the church. There was a blackboard on the back wall, and another on the right side wall. Behind my desk was the pulpit and the altar. There were three pictures on the wall behind the altar. One was a head and chest black and white photo of the minister in a dark suit, white shirt, and dark tie. The other two pictures were color prints of Jesus, the Last Supper, and Christ knocking on a door. This was my school. I was supposed to teach 6 months out of the year, but actually I taught only 5.5 months, from late October to the middle of April, when the children were not needed in the field. I assigned three of my sixth-grade students to teach the primer, first and second grades, while I taught third and fourth. Only by assigning the upper-grade students to teach the lower grades was it possible to reach all the students every day. I devoted the last 2 hours in the afternoon to the fifth and sixth grades. While the classes separated and moved to their respective areas, I asked the third and fourth graders to go to the back of the church to work on the blackboards. The third-grade class would do arithmetic on the board on the back wall, and the fourth graders would write sentences on the board on the right side wall. I moved from one blackboard to the other with my yard-long Westcott ruler. I still felt bad about the problem I was having at home with my aunt. The night before, when I returned from Bayonne, I had gone to her room to say good night, but she pretended to be asleep, just to avoid speaking to me. And this morning, when I passed her on my way into the kitchen, she said over her shoulder, "Food there if you want it, or you can go back where you had supper last night." Breakfast was 2 fried eggs, grits, a piece of salt pork, and a biscuit. I ate at the kitchen table, looking across the yard. The crab grass was wet from the night's heavy dew. I looked back over my shoulder a couple of times, but I couldn't hear my aunt anywhere in the house. After I finished eating, I washed my plate in the pan of soap water that she had left on the shelf in the kitchen window. I tried once more to speak to her before leaving for school, but to avoid me this time she pretended to make up her bed, which I knew she had already done 2 hours earlier. At 8:45 I left the house. She had gone out into the garden. Every little thing was irritating me. I caught one of the students trying to figure out a simple multiplication table on his fingers, and I slashed him hard across the butt with the Westcott ruler. He jerked around too fast and looked at me too angrily for my liking. "Your hand," I said.